1 Corinthians in chapter 15, and while you're turning there, just want to say how much we appreciate everyone being here today. Glad we got our visitors with us. Excuse me. First Corinthians chapter 15. Now, we're not going to read the whole chapter. We will be starting reading verses 1 through 12, and then we'll be going through different parts of this chapter. But God willing, we're going to be talking about the subject this morning, that the resurrection is necessary. Now, what do we mean that the resurrection is necessary? Without the resurrection, there is no hope. Without the resurrection, there is no forgiveness of sins. Without the resurrection of Christ, all of us are damned to hell. Just the long and short of it. Now, the fact of the matter is, a lot of people seem to think that the resurrection is nothing more than a good story. A lot of people have the idea that the resurrection or Easter, this day, this time of the year, that it's nothing more than about getting a chocolate bunny or peanut butter eggs. And I will say up front, anyone wants to give me peanut butter eggs, I will not turn them down. But I will also say this. While peanut butter eggs are great, that's not what Sunday or Easter or anything else is about. It's about Christ. It's about what He came to do. It's about Christ on the cross saying, "It is finished." Nothing more needs to be done. Nothing else can be done. But it's all about what Jesus has done. So look with me, please, in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. We'll start in verse 1, read down through verse 12. And the Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep." That's talking about they've died. "After that, He was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, He was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach and so you believe. Now, Christ has preached that He has been raised from the dead. How do some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?" Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the blessings You give us. God, I ask that You would help us to be found faithful to You. Help us to preach Your word in a way that would be simple, that would be easy to understand. But God, I pray that it wouldn't be understood because of me, but God, I pray it be understood because You have spoken to hearts, that You deal with those who are lost. Lord, that You make it clear that it is only through Christ that we can have this hope, that we can have this eternal life. Lord, thank You for not only His death and only His burial, but Lord, also His resurrection. And we'll give You the glory for it all. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, the Bible says here, talking about the resurrection, Notice here, first of all, in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel. Now, it's making it very clear here that Paul is going to declare to them what the gospel is. Now, let me tell you what the gospel is not. The gospel is not feeding people who are hungry. Now, I want you to understand, it's good to feed people if they're hungry. We do that on Wednesday nights, right? We feed the kids that we bring in, but that's not the gospel. Listen, giving people medical care is not the gospel. While it is a good thing to help people out with their medical needs and their health needs, but understand, if you feed them and they die and go to hell, or if you give them medical care, help them out medically or with their health, and they still die and go to hell, what does that do? Nothing. It's of no real benefit eternally. Sure, we ought to show the love of Christ by being gracious and by being merciful and helping people out. But understand something, folks. If all we're doing is meeting their temporal needs or the needs that they have in this life, then we failed. Jesus Christ did not come to make sure people had health care. Jesus Christ did not come to make sure that people were fed. Even though He did feed, and yes, even though He did heal, He did all that with the purpose of teaching them that they needed Him and the forgiveness of sins. Now I want you to look here, starting in verse, again, we've looked in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel." Now notice this, Paul continues on and says, "which I preach to you." So Paul did preach the gospel. Then he said this, "which also you received and which you stand." In other words, if you've been saved, you have received this gospel. You stand in this gospel. It is how you're saved. If you hold fast that word, "which I preach to you," now notice, "unless you believed in vain." Or in other words, your faith is empty and dead. How do you know if your faith is empty and dead? Well, the Bible talks about, you show, and this is in the book of James, "you show me your faith by my work," or "you show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." The Bible makes it plain, faith without works is dead. You're not saved by doing good works, but the way you live, the way you serve, the way you work, it proves out who you say and who you claim to be. So if you claim to be a child of God, guess what? You're going to be working. You're going to be serving. Matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Then verse 10, and I'm paraphrasing here, "by which you've been ordained unto." In other words, God has saved you to serve. God has saved you to work. Not just sit back and say, "everything's fine and dandy. I'm going to live like the devil," or "I'm just going to live like I don't even know who Christ is." No, there is a change. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "any man that is in Christ is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." There's a change in your life. Now the next verse says, verse 3, "for I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Now, this is important, right? It is important that we know that Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. Absolutely. So that's the first part. Then notice the next. "And that He was buried." That's important as well. But this third point is just as important. Notice, "and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." He came out of that grave. You see, you can have the death of Christ. You can have the burial of Christ, but if you don't have the resurrection of Christ, then all you've got is Muhammad, Buddha, or one of the many other quote-unquote gods in this world. What separates Jesus from everyone and every other deity in this world and in religion is He came out of the grave. He's no longer there. Now, notice, we continue on. Not only was He resurrected, here's how we know that He was resurrected. That He was seen by Cephas. That's Peter, right? Notice this. Then by the 12, the other disciples. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once. Now, according to the law, how many witnesses did you need? Two or three. It was established by well over 500 people at least that Jesus Christ came out of the grave. They tried to debunk it. They tried to mock it. They tried to deny it, but they could not. Now, as we look at this and we understand, notice this too. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep, some have died. After that, He was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, He was seen by me also as by one born out of due time. In other words, Jesus revealed Himself to Paul. Now, let's go on to verse 12. Now, I want you to read these verses that we skip over a little bit. I want you to read over these in your own time, okay? But we're hitting the highlights here. So the first thing we want you to understand is that for the gospel, the resurrection is necessary. You can't have the gospel without the resurrection, okay? Now, number two, the resurrection is our hope. Now, by hope, we've said this many times here recently, hope means confidence, our surety. We know that it is going to happen. I am confident in the resurrection of Christ. I know that it happened, and I know that one day I'm going to be resurrected. And because of the resurrection of Christ, I know that what? I am saved, and I'm going to be with Him. Now, here's the thing. Verses 12 through 19, we're going to see that without the resurrection, there is no salvation. There's no hope. Look here in these verses. The Bible says, "Now if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?" There was some people who denied the resurrection. These are professing Christians. How can a professing Christian say that there is no resurrection if Jesus resurrected from the grave? So it's one of two things. Either they're a liar or Jesus is. You can't have it both ways. And the Bible makes it very plain that anyone that denies that Jesus Christ, we know this from 2 John, 3 John, and so on, and 1 John, that if anyone denies that Jesus came of the flesh, what? They're Antichrist, right? Well, let me also say this. Anyone that denies that Jesus Christ overcame death, hell, and the grave, guess what? They're Antichrist too. Because they're denying the work of Christ and what He did. I don't care if it's a preacher that tells you that He did not resurrect from the grave. I don't care if it's your mom. I don't care if it's your dad. They do not know. But the Bible makes it very clear that Christ did. Of course, Paul asked the question. Now, if Christ has preached that He has been raised from the dead, and that's what Paul and the apostles did, how do some of you among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? How can you say that? It's one of those rhetorical questions. Because you already know the answer. Look at verse 13. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Jesus Christ is not risen. If there is no resurrection, Christ is arisen. Look here at the reasoning that Paul gives. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses to God because we have testified to God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up. Now, again, He's been hypothetical here. If in fact the dead do not rise, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. Now, notice what he says here. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is in vain. Your faith is futile. You were still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most pitiful. We are miserable, wretched creatures if we do not have the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ came, died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and that He came up out of that grave? Because if you don't have the resurrection, the Bible says here we have no hope. We have no confidence. We have nothing to be assured about. Jesus is our hope. Now, look at the next few verses here. Verses 20 through 26. Verses 20 through 26, the question is, if the resurrection is not true, then why are we here? Now, I'm talking about right here, where we're at today. But now, look at verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead, has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be what? Made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward, those who are Christ at His coming. Then comes the end, when He delivers the kingdom of God to the Father, when He puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for He must reign till He has put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for He has put all things under His feet. But when He says all things are put under Him, it is evident that He who put all things under Him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to Him, then the Son Himself will also be subject to Him who put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. So here's the thing. If there's no resurrection, why are we here? Understand, He's got to put death under His feet. And He's done that through the resurrection. And ultimately, it's going to be done, too. When Christ returns, whenever He comes to establish His kingdom, then this will be, listen, this world will be done. Death will be done. There will be no more death. There will be no more sting of death. There will be no victory of death. It will be defeated, ultimately. But for the child of God, it's already defeated. Because we are going to be in His presence and we're forever going to be able to worship Him. But now, I got a little bit ahead of myself there for a minute, so forgive me for that. Look at the next set of verses here. Now, verse 29. Otherwise, what will they do when they are baptized for the dead? Now, understand, there were those who believed in baptism for the dead. That is not taught in Scripture. That is not taught for God's people. And one day, God willing, I will teach on this, okay? But I just want you to understand right now, for now, that is not biblical. So we're not even going to concern that much. There are groups that did that. Now listen, if the dead do not rise at all, when then are they baptized for the dead? And why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by the boasting in which in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily, that is, dying to themselves. If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits or good manners. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Now, I want you to concentrate on one verse here, okay? He says, notice, if in the manner of men, If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts of Ephesus, what advantage is it to me if the dead do not rise? Now notice, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. What's that talking about here? Basically, it's like this. If there's no resurrection, why are we here today? Why are we worshiping God? There's nothing to worship. Matter of fact, if there's no resurrection, we stay in our sin. So if we're in our sin, let's eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die, folks. Tomorrow, we just might as well go ahead and have one big party because we're wasting our time. But here's the deal, folks. For those of us that know Christ, we know we're not wasting our time. We know we're here worshiping a living Savior, a risen Savior, a Savior who is magnificent, a Savior that deserves our praise. What's the old hymn? I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is with me no matter what men may say. The chorus is, He lives, He lives. Listen, I thank God that He lives, and I know that He lives. Because let me tell you something, folks. I have seen Him work in my life. I have seen Him do things in other people's lives. And I've experienced the joy of the Lord because of His resurrection. Now notice, and I want you to think about this. Verses 35 down through 49, we'll read here, but someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Mama. Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain. Perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as He pleases, and to each seed to his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. Now notice here, he's using the different bodies and the different stars and stuff as an example of this. And he says in verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam being a life-giving spirit. Who is the last Adam? It's Christ. Now notice, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust, and it is, and as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. We are created in the image of God. We get that. But folks, this body we have right here, right now, eventually will go away. It'll go to dust. And for the child of God, we will be given a glorified body in which we will forever worship God and will forever be in His presence. But let me also say this, for the ones who die in their sin, they will be fitted a body, given a body that's fit for destruction. It'll be eternal destruction and eternal damnation. And it'll be forever something they will suffer in. But finally, won't you look with me the last few verses here in chapter 15? Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, the natural man will not inherit the kingdom of God. Because notice, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Our sinful bodies will not be a part of this. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, that is, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. We'll all be different than we are now. We just talked about the glorified bodies, just talked about the bodies that those who are lost that will receive, that are fitted to destruction. Notice, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, just like that, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this incorruptible, that is this corruptible, that is our body, must put on incorruption. And this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Another way to say that is, O Hades, where is your victory? The grave will not have its victory. Hell will not have its victory. We will have our victory in Christ because of the resurrection. Look at the next verse. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Folks, our victory is because of the resurrection of Christ. Do you understand that? Our victory is because of the resurrection. Folks, I can rejoice and I can be happy and I can be thrilled that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and then came up out of that grave the third day. Man, I've got victory. And if you're here today and you're saved by the grace of God, so do you. And let me say this too. If you're here today and you're lost, the only way you can have victory is by crying upon the Lord, putting your faith and trust in Him and Him alone. Asking Him to save you from your sin, from yourself. By putting faith and trust in His finished work. And folks, again, without this resurrection, you don't have hope. But for the child of God, those of us that know the resurrection, we know Him. We have that hope. Do you have that hope? Do you have that today? If you do, we tell you, thank the Lord. But if you don't, we tell you to call upon Him today. Let's all stand. Come and lead us in a verse of invitation. If God has spoken to your heart for any reason at all,